Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. And Lord, we delight before you. Thank you, God, that we just so have been encouraged by grace to love your Son. We adore him. We thank you for him. He is so beautiful. Behold the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord, that you've taken away the sin of the world. But thank you, Lord, you've taken away my sin. Lord, it's so personal. It's mine. Hallelujah. God, thank you that we can cry out, Abba, Father. You're my dad. You're my father. Hallelujah. How intimate the Son has made me to you. Lord, again, we come to feast at your table. God, what you've provided. And Lord, you enable, because you're the one that even has to open our hearts for us to receive it. God, we're completely dependent upon you. And we just thank you that it is your desire and your desire alone that we grow up into your Son in all things. And Lord, you've so richly provided everything. You've given us every provision. And my goodness, you've given us the power of your might. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that it is all there. Help us to take it. Help us to lay hold today. Help us to awaken to this wonderful calling, the richness of the glory of God. Thank you that you're pouring it out to us at this time. God, let us tend to it today without distraction. Let us just rejoice. And again, I say rejoice in the beauty of the Lamb of God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Open up with me today to Judges chapter 13. That's Judges chapter 13. And the Lord has placed upon my heart today our sweet brother Samson. Now, I believe that all here are familiar with Samson. This man was a judge and a judge over Israel for 20 years. And he was given, as the Lord appointed, the greatest natural strength there has ever been given to any man. Now, Samson was a Nazarite. And the word Nazarite means separated unto God. But then his name Samson means like the sun. So here I have a brother that has been separated unto God, and he has been labeled like the sun. I'll tell you what, this is some good stuff here, and we best pay attention to it. But Samson, obviously, in this, was favored of God. He was chosen of the Lord. And even from the womb, he was chosen of the Lord. If you read that fifth verse with me there in the 13th chapter, it says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb." But listen to what it says now. "And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Oh, what a promise. What word from the Lord? Do you read these things and hear your name in them as well too, as you read the promises of God to you? But brothers and sisters, this brother had a precious calling on his life. But there's a clue about his life right there in that fifth verse that comes at least so apparent and so quickly in that word begin. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of God. Now, we understand this is God's plan and his purpose, but I want to use this brother as a type today. I was thinking how Moses was chosen not to begin to lead the people out of Egypt. He was chosen and he was called and he said, "You're going to lead my people out of Egypt." And then you think about Brother Paul, and he was chosen not to begin something. Praise be to God. In Colossians 1:25, he says, "You've been given the message to fulfill or complete and finish the word of God." There's an elevation here we're getting at, brothers and sisters. There's an encouragement coming. And I'm speaking to all those that have been given this message of a better thing for us. And God help us to pay attention to it today. But brothers and sisters, we read on about Samson in this, and you'll see that this is a pattern that becomes something very apparent over and over in his life. And the pattern is that the fullness, the potential of all, filled with all the fullness of God, was missed. in chapter 13 here in verse 25, if you turn over there, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. At times. How about all the time? God said, come boldly. God said, ask and ye shall receive. How about all the time? Now, I know that's nothing of me. That's got to be all of him. He's the one that gives it. But how about, Lord, how about all the time? How about allowing this to be upon me all the time? See, God favored this brother just as he favors us. But there's a word, and it's a precious word, and a sister, it just amazes me how the unity of the Spirit just runs so rampant in this body. But the word is indifference. There was indifference in this brother's life. He was distracted with things. Things that he thought were more pressing or important at the time. That I can shelve God and his glory and his calling and his promises. I'm just going to set them aside for the moment. I'll get back to you, God. But it's just going to have to hold on because there's something that's a little bit more appetizing to me just for the moment. But I'm going to tell you something. Indifference, brothers and sisters, just like it did to Samson, will leave us exactly the same way. It'll leave you in bondage. It'll leave you blind. And it'll leave you discouraged. It will. It eventually will. When you pass on the things of God, you will live a moment in your life of, oh Lord, I wish I had. I wish I had. I wish I yielded. I'm sorry, Lord, that I squandered that time. And every single one of us here today have had that moment. But why not, by God's grace, give it to him now? Say, Lord, as for me in my house, now we're going to serve the Lord. By God's grace, I'm going to bow to you. By God's grace, I'm going to live at least this moment by your grace. Remember, this isn't something I'm pledging for him throughout the ages of time. It's just about now. Amen. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and I'm going to tell you something, it's about now. And God, by his grace, will allow us to bend that knee right now and yield to this calling. Now, I was so delighted to think about Samson's long hair. I did. I just was grateful to God. I was thinking about how precious in so many different meanings here, but the one that the Lord was just hitting on my heart, it was the sign of the anointing. He was anointed of God. It was a sign. It was a symbol that Christ was his headship. I've set this up for you, son. It was a wonderful sign that a life could be moved and led of the Spirit of the Lord. It's so wonderful what God was setting up in this brother. And brothers and sisters, to me, God's anointing, and I've heard it many times said this way, and it is wonderful. Oh, God's anointing is for you to be set apart to God for a purpose. To be set apart to God for a purpose. Brothers and sisters, it's so much more than that. It's to be set apart to God for his purpose. It's to be set apart to God for his intimacy. This was an anointing time. You talk about a table that's set for two. This is exactly what the anointing of the Lord is. He wants you to abide alone with him. He wants you to come and sup with him. That intimacy, brothers and sisters, that he alone draws us into. The Holy Ghost, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, again by the Holy Spirit. And you see, this anointing came upon Samson. That's what was so wonderful. It came upon him. But listen to this. In 1 John 2:27, it tells us that our anointing, which we have received of him, abideth in you. You're not excited enough. Praise the Lord. As the Spirit said to those brothers, or I should say, as the Lord said to those brothers, he's been with you and he shall be in you. Come on. We know we have such a better thing. It's not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves, it's just to rejoice in the promises of God. And again, we can look back and whether it was Israel and seeing how they could walk across the Red Sea on dry ground and how a rock would give them their water and how there would be manna every morning. And yet they would still murmur and complain. Brothers and sisters, our old man does just the same. And yet we are so more without excuse, aren't we? Because we do have a better thing. We have all of this wonderful witness. We have the fullness. And praise be to God, we have Paul's gospel. Where we can so get back into that rocking chair. As Brother Hill used to say, grace, 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 just rock me. To have an appreciation for that. To be thankful of that anointing of grace upon grace in our lives. Oh, brothers and sisters, God help us to come into this, that it is so much better. See, the anointing has been poured out over us and in us. And it is thrilling. It is marvelous. Jesus Christ said even greater things than I did, you're going to do. And I think about that often. And I think, Lord, it's because of your Spirit. It's by your Spirit. It's by the power of your might to take a wretch like me. I'm not very God of very God. I'm so very opposite of very opposite of that, that that's the marvel. That's the miracle. That's the power. Honey, I'm going to show you that I'll grow myself up in you. Let me do it. I'll show you that you can live by faith, not because of you, but because of my life in you. More and more, brothers and sisters, I do believe that we're seeing this as the people of God, that the reason we're the people of God is because Jesus Christ is in our lives. He is our life. That Galatians 2:20 is exactly what it is. We live by faith of the Son of God. Praise the Lord. That I have that life that wants to will and to do of the good pleasure of the Father. That I understand that completely is absolutely opposite of anything that I could want or do. That I would think of everything else but how to please the Father. But yet grace came to live in me. And it will never depart. His life is in. That seed remaineth. And it's this seed of such a sweet anointing, brothers and sisters, that's just ready to burst forth. It's been planted. It's been watered. And God is ever ready to give increase. He's ready to pour it forth all the time. And he does. But what are we doing with it? Is it just some thing that we think of as some secondary good? Really think about this. That anointing, so much better than a Samson, has been poured out on you and has been poured out in you. Think on these things as we sit here today. See, Samson, okay, here you go, ladies. He sold out for women. And he did. You know how much responsibility you have, sisters? Just as much as the men. Solomon, the same thing. Those wives turned his heart from God to idols. Can you imagine that? After all the things that he had seen, I could see those people, you know, thinking about Solomon. Oh my goodness. God gave him all them riches. God gave him all that peace in his kingdom. God gave him all that evidence of the power as he saw his daddy preserved of the Lord after he flopped and failed. But he was God's anointed. Don't you touch him. I'm going to bring him all the way through. Watch my hand take him through the furnace. Watch my hand take him through the failure. Watch my hand take him through the heartache. Watch my hand take him through the guilt. Watch my hand show forth what I was always there, the man after my very heart. Huh? Amen. We can get awful critical about Solomon and say, shame on you. You saw all that and you let a bunch of women turn your head. How much more for us? Daniel wanted to look into the things that God has so freely opened to us. Do you know that? That sweet brother that stood and freely gave his life. Nothing's going to keep me from praising my Lord. You're not going to make me fear. You can throw me in that lion's den. You can try to trick my God. And he just laughs at you in your stupidity. You walked exactly into the trap that he wanted you to because you couldn't help it in your wickedness and sin. Because he's going to show himself mighty and faithful. You dug that pit and them lions going to eat you up. Amen. So brothers and sisters, we see that it's such a perfect way. God is such a perfect God. There's nothing that comes upon him unawares. He sees it so afar off. My goodness, he's orchestrated this thing, and he's a patient God. And we know he's a patient God because he's dealing with a bunch of impatient vessels. You're still here receiving tribulation because you need patience. And don't fret because I'm in the front of the line. Amen. He knows me. He knows what I need. He knows that by his grace he's causing me to delight in him. But he knows by his grace too what he needs to bring in my life. Hallelujah. Now, Lot, he sold out because he chose with his eyes. Yeah, oh, that's rich and fat. That's an easy place to go. I'm going to go settle down there. What do you think? Oh, I don't have to go to Living Waters. No, you don't have to go to Living Waters. And I'm thankful to God that however Christ is preached. But I'm going to ask you something. As we rejoice in Wednesday night, do you go to a place that preaches no other gospel? Come on. I wish it was preached everywhere. My goodness, I am so thankful to the Lord. This is his. This isn't about building something. My goodness, he's building his church. And if he uses us to be part of it, hallelujah, praise be to God. However he's going to do it, we're just going to sit back and watch his mighty hand. But it's so wonderful to know that, brothers and sisters, we're not going to choose with our eyes. And a lot of times we're going to see things that he sees, and we're going to see him say, Lord, I do not know how that's going to work out. I know that that looks like a total mess. I know that was not, I'm sure, the right move. But I'm just going to rest and look at Romans 8:28, and we know. Not might know, and we'll see, or whatever. No, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I think we got a lot of people here that love God because of his grace. Now think about Saul. He sold out because he wouldn't wait on God. He didn't hold the word of God dear. God said this. And when God says something, it's so, it's yea and amen. He's God. He's God. What don't we get about that? We have more respect for our boss. Maybe. You shouldn't. But you should honor him as unto the Lord. Oh, amen. And not with eye service either, huh? As a man pleaser? No. But you're doing it as unto God. See, that's how you can get, not just get through, but have a joy going through in everything. Lord, I'm so thankful. I mean, that guy's so mean to me. But I know you appointed it. And look at this, Lord. I know in me, I'd give him a five-knuckle sandwich. But yet here I am resting. And here I am believing you. And here I am talking with you and having fellowship with you. And I wouldn't have it if I had a boss that maybe doted on me. Have you ever thought of that? Or have you ever pulled that thumb out of your mouth and got out of the fetal position in the corner? Rise up! You're his son. What don't you get? You're not going to get it feeling sorry for yourself. You're going to apprehend it when you embrace these things. That, Lord, you've appointed this to my life. This is but a vapor, but it is the most important moment that's ever been because it's the moment of now. Are you ready? Are you loving his appearing? Or is your family more important? Is your job more important? Or is your not a job more important? Do you see what I'm saying? The enemy, he'll work on every angle. But the Lord works in one way, and that's grace. Lord, I just receive it. I can sit here today. I have thrashed around. I have never believed you. I have even cursed you at times. But somehow, some way, the word of God hit me right now. And I said, Lord, I believe you. You see the peace that passes understanding? Faith is immediate, isn't it? It's not like, oh, Lord, you moved the mountain. You moved the mountain because I see the way of escape's already been made. It was on the cross, and you finished it. All right. I'll just mention one more. How about poor Ham? He just had to throw it away because he couldn't get over the shame that he saw on his father Noah. Every angle. Lots of symptoms here, huh? But it's always just the same one sickness. I left my first love. That's ours. I left my first love. That church of Ephesus, it was a wonderful church. They shared the Lord. They encouraged each other in faith. There was a lot of wonderful things. The Spirit probably was rich and thick. Well, we know it was. But I got one thing against you. Indifference. You're wavering. Brothers that are married here today, you would have been crazy to marry a woman that was indifferent to marry you. Huh? Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ ain't crazy like that. He's not. He's not. He's going to marry her who is in love with him. Yeah. Do you see how simple the gospel is? It really is a simple thing. He didn't just throw us out here and say, well, you just got to figure it out. No. I'm going to reveal it to you because it's my heart's desire. I reveal myself in nature. Relationships, family, even the sunrise, the sunset. The beauty, the masterpiece of God. Now, brothers and sisters, what does being anointed of God mean to you? What does it mean to you? Do we get really how dear we are to God? That the anointing that he has poured forth and even placed in you, the oil, the power of his might. My goodness, brothers and sisters, to bring forth and to mold the ones that will rule and reign and be glorified together with him. And I don't know about you, but God mentioned it before as we got started. I want it dripping from my beard. I want it saturating my pants, the skirts of my garment. Amen? Amen? Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. How many people say that all the time? I hear people just quote that, oh, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Huh? Amen. Is your cup, does it runneth over? You know what has to happen first? That sweet old brother brought it out again last week, didn't he? You got to be still. And you got to receive the anointing on your head. Or there ain't going to be nothing in your cup. Huh? Know these things. God knows what he's doing. He's the anointer. He's got the anointing. But in order for you ever to receive any of it, you got to be still. Still for this. Still to feed on the word of God. To lie down in that green pasture and let God do it for you. Brothers and sisters, you think of the ones that we're talking about that were anointed in the Old Testament. Overwhelmingly, kings and priests. Kings and priests. And all I could do was just smile and say, thank you, Lord, in Revelation 5. Oh, my goodness. As he said, those who cry out, thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. Come on now. These things aren't coincidental. They're the ones that have received the anointing. And I'm thankful to God we look at Samson, we look at King Saul. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. They were made to reign. They really were. They were anointed. And you and I in Romans 9:23, here's the better thing again, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. You were made to reign. You have been anointed. The word always anoints, brothers and sisters. You've been given this. It's pouring forth. And praise be to God, that life of Christ is in you. And what an offering and mercy beyond that he has bestowed this upon us. It is so marvelous to sit in awe and say, thank you, Lord, that you're taking care of all of it. But what about it, brothers and sisters? Is the crown that thou hast more dear to you than anything? Is it? Is the crown that thou hast more dear than anything? Will it be held fast? And I do want to make this known. The Lord's encouraged it upon my heart. In Revelation 4, there are 24 elders. Praise be to God. And they have crowns. And yes, they do take them off and they cast them before the throne. But I'm going to tell you something about the four living ones. The bride, she will never remove her crown. She will never take that crown off. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Know the type that's even God so sweetly has put even in this earth about queens. The queen never removes her crown, for it would dishonor her husband, the king. Listen to this. This isn't a self-righteous statement. This is absolute a glorious statement. This is praising him for his grace, his greatness. He is the one that I beheld, hallelujah, and grace allowed me to receive, that he grew up into me in all things, and that crowning was because of him. It's his glory that was coming forth. It's his glory that was built up. It's his glory that will descend from heaven, having the glory of God and her light. My goodness, it's all him. But she's taken it in such an amount, hallelujah, that she is like him from glory to glory, even into the image of him. The four living ones, what are those? That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The beast, hallelujah. Come on now. The lion, the calf, the man. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the eagle. It's him. Why do you think John, who laid his head on Jesus' breast, he's being walked around heaven in Revelation. He can't help but keep bowing down to that person. And that guy keeps picking him up. Don't do that, man. You're just like me. How many times over and over does he have to tell us these things? We're a little dense, aren't we? We just are. We're quick to unbelief. We're getting, oh, Lord, you couldn't love me like that. Oh, you could send your only begotten son and he can die upon that cross. And he becomes sin for us who knew no sin. Come on! He loves you like that. And you can't believe that he wants to, by his grace, elevate you to a place in his glory, where you will rule and reign jointly with him, where you will be glorified together with him. Well, he will make them of the synagogue of Satan to come and to bow down before you and worship. What do you think they're worshiping? They're not worshiping you. They're worshiping Christ in you. Come on. This is what this is about. It had nothing to do with you all along. You just got out of the way so much that Jesus Christ came and grew up in all things. Now, what about that? Do you see the simplicity of the gospel of Christ? If I can see something like this by God's grace, you can too. I'm telling you. I fought him sometimes in intellect. I fought him sometimes in just stupidity. All of it together is just foolishness because that's man's wisdom. But by my spirit comes in and there's no respecter of person. Praise the Lord. He sees us. He would have died just for you if you were the only one. And he would have sent the Holy Spirit just for you if you were the only one. That's how intimate God is with you. Wrap it up. The Queen of England was asked to take a picture one time. And the person taking the picture said, Queen, would you remove the crown so we can take this picture? And her aide stepped in. And he said, the queen always has to have this covering on. It is not proper for her to ever be without her covering. The ultimate anointing, the ultimate of grace. Brothers and sisters, what's it mean to us? Come on, he's reaching, isn't he? Hallelujah. Searching. And I don't know about you, but the thought, and it's not just the thought, it's the reality of being his glory, it thrills me. I mean, it's incredible. Matter of fact, grace is causing me to be even delirious for it. The eyes of my understanding have been enlightened to it. He has opened up some inner chambers of my heart, the most intimate places. And I'm telling you, they're starting to set a fire for this. It's incredible what God does here, brothers and sisters. We caught a glimpse of it. We heard the word of the Lord. He's given you the ear for this, but you heard the word of the Lord from his lips. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And wouldn't it just be something if they came out to look for you? Huh? And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Return, return unto me, O Shulamite. But she was gone, never to return again. Let's stand and worship him. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praising you, Jesus. Thanking you, Lord. God, thank you for having your way with us. Lord, thank you that this is your meeting, Lord. This is your place. God, this is your people. Thank you, Lord, that this is you. Praising you, thanking you. Praise. Hallelujah. Praising you. Oh, glory to my Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praising you. Praising you. Praising you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, while every head is bowed, thank you, Lord, that we truly can be beside ourselves because of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that, again, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and what power it is and what complete salvation we rejoice in you. Lord, thank you how sweetly you deal with us. God, sons. Thank you for the chastening. Lord, help us to endure it. Lord, help us to truly embrace it. And Lord, we know it's not joyous for the moment. But God, the glory that's going to be revealed, it's not worthy to be compared. Hallelujah. God, help us not to be lost in murmuring. Lord, help us not to just wander around. But God, help us to know that you direct our paths. And God, you enlarge our steps. And we walk boldly throughout all the land. God, help us to be a bold people for you. People so fervently in love with you because you're so in love with us. Thank you, Lord, that that's your message. I love you. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.